Are there persons here this morning that were not here yesterday evening? A few. Okay, more than a few. For those that were here yesterday evening, I have a quiz question. It's easy though. Try to make it really easy. The whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is based upon a series of, the format is a series of questions and answers. The sages question Sutta, he supplies answers. Based on those answers, there's more questions. He supplies answers, and that leads to the discussion between Maharaj Parikshit, who asks questions, and Shukadev Goswami responds to those questions, which prompts more questions, and then he gives answers to those questions. So the format is the question-answer format. So my question is, what were the two questions asked by Maharaj Parikshit of Shukadev Goswami? And then the next question is going to be, what were the answers? And we discussed it yesterday evening. I see one hand, five brave souls, six, seven. In the back. I don't know your name, but you raised your hand, so go ahead. You give one, and right next to you, you give the other one. Very good. What's the other question? He's declining. What was the other question? Yes. Whole of life. What is the duty of people in general? What should people do? What's the duty of life? For people in general, and specifically for those who are about to die. What is it that they should hear, chant, and remember? And what is it that they should not do? So here's the Yach Shrotavyam Ato Japyam. What should one hear and vibrate? Yat Kartavyam. Remember. Nribhi Prabhoho. Nribhi, people in general. Mri, people. What should people in general hear about, chant about, remember? Smartavya Bhajaniyam. Bhajaniyam, worship. Va Bruhiya. Va Vaparyayam. Please explain all of this to me. And the previous verse was, I am begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. What is it that one should hear about, chant about, remember, and worship? And what is he not to do? So those are his two questions. Now, what are the two answers? Come on, this is easy. Yeah.
The general people should hear, chant, and remember the glories of Harikatha.
Yeah.
Personality of God.
Harikathamritam is the language. Harikatha. And because it's exclusive, it means not other things. Not the cricket matches. Not so many things that people are very singular focused. And the other question? The way of perfection, what is it that people in general should do? Direct devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Is there another opinion? Yes. One should do what? One should understand
the insignificance of our own intelligence.
Okay. Which is an essential step in coming to the undivided worship of the personality of Godhead. Yeah. So, just to reinforce this understanding and to appreciate the symmetry and the beauty of the Bhagavatam, for both of those reasons, it was mentioned yesterday, I'll call on Aravindaksha, there is a verse in the second chapter of the first canto, text 14, that gives the answer, because the question was already asked. What is the essential message found within all of the Vedas and practically with the same language? Shrotavya kirtitavyascha. What's the verse? Tasmat ekena? Yeah. And this verse is quoted by Jiva Goswami repeatedly in his Bhakti Sandarbha because it's such an important key message. And the very same language, Shrotavya kirtitavyascha, instead of saying dhyaya pujasta nityada, it is Shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavya chaschata bhayam. So takes one to the fearless position, because now in the second canto the question that's being answered is, what is the way of achieving perfection for one who is about to die? That is, so if one follows this process, the undesirable things are dissolved, the misplaced purpose of life taken away, the fear of life being taken away, the fear is taken away, because one is then provided with factual shelter of the personality of Godhead. So the refrain, Shrotavya kirtitavyascha, it appears in the first canto, chapter 2. It appears in the 19th chapter, canto 1. It appears again in the prelude verses before even Shukadeva Goswami speaks, text number 5. Again, Jiva Goswami refers to this. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma. Excuse me, he just begins speaking. Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Chaschata Bhayam. Same language, slightly different wording. Essential message, the essential message, the essential message. And that same language is repeated just at the end of chapter 2, where this is what we discussed yesterday evening. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada. Sarvatra sarvada means everywhere and always. He's linking not only what the process is, but the object, because he's spoken in chapter 2 about the super soul. Where is the super soul? He's everywhere. And when is it appropriate to speak those vibrations? Always. There's no inauspicious circumstance. There's no particularly, you should do it only during an auspicious time. In other words, in contrast to Karmakanda. With Karmakanda, one needs an astrologer to calculate when's an auspicious time to have a wedding, to start your business, to do something. The auspicious time for a yogi to give up his body, the inauspicious time. There's no consideration of auspicious, inauspicious. Always it is auspicious because it's on the transcendental platform. That's the message. That's the message. It's not with material calculation. Its force is fully spiritual. That's the message. And the object is the super soul, the supreme who is everywhere. Since time immemorial, it's always appropriate. Jiva Goswami refers to a verse in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam on this theme, where again Maharaj Parikshit asks a somewhat similar question. Again, Shukadeva Goswami gives a very similar answer, not identical. But he says that the perfection of life is fixing one's consciousness upon the personality of Godhead. Manmana, bhavamad bhakto, like that. And he says that one who does so at the time of death is certain to be transferred to the spiritual world. So if we can fulfill this at the time of death, because the 12th canto is the 7 days is for the curse to elapse, is about to finish. That snake bird is just any moment going to come flying at him and gone. So his mind is fixed. He even says, let this mystical thing, snake bird or whatever it is, come at once. I'm ready. My mind is fixed upon the personality of Godhead. And I'm fearless. Other shelters, so this Hari Katamritam takes away other shelters. It relieves one of the burden of past distractions and wrongdoings that are inevitable as long as we're embodied and living in this world. Even good people will make mistake and do some bad thing, unavoidable. Prabhupada said, in fact, it's for March 4th today, that calendar, Prabhupada, short quote, says, dedication of one's life to the personality of Godhead is the path of perfection. Then he says, even if there's some mistake, because in the course of life some mistake may be there, this is the path of great success. All good fortune will come. And the good fortune is going back home, back to Godhead. If there's some discrepancy, inadvertent, not careless and even deliberate, if there's some discrepancy, Krishna will adjust. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Krishna personally intervenes. Again, not that one should be careless and casual, but Krishna's protection is guaranteed. And that protection is not just so you don't have to have bad things happen, but it's so that we can go back to Godhead and the obstacles are cleared. That's the perfection. Back home, back to Godhead. And the method is this Hari Katha. Now, once again, indirect methods have been described in very interesting detail of meditation on the universal form, meditation on the super soul in such a manner one can develop mystic powers and leave the body and travel all over space and visit this place and visit that place and keep going and go through the coverings of the universe at any position, if there's some residual desire, one will be captured by that desire to take birth once again in some position and fulfill another life of engagement in an embodied condition of life. But our mandate and the instruction of the Bhagavatam, the instruction that Shukadeva Goswami is giving to the king, for people in general and for such elevated persons as himself, topics about Lord Hari will carry one to the position of perfection. So, now that sets the stage for Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Change in Heart. I'll just give a little background. Jiva Goswami explains, if one was to ask the question, if this attraction for Krishna is so powerful enough to achieve all of these wonderful things, how does one establish that in one's life? Again, devotional service, serving the Supreme Lord with our senses, combined with Harikatha, bountiful hearing and chanting activity. Then, what if someone still has some residual desire? There's been some discussion about the application of knowledge from the text completing chapter 2, the summary verses. Shukadeva Goswami explains, by taking help of the intelligence, one can conclusively know the personality of Godhead and fix one's mind upon him. That's the perfection of intelligence, or the path of knowledge. Even a person of discrimination may still have some desire. And that itching, that desire, can distract one's attention. So intelligence, the message is, intelligence, fine discrimination, and very fine, elevated, sharp intelligence is not enough. One has to move into the practical activity and worship the Supreme. Jiva Goswami explains, our Vedic culture is such, Vedic knowledge is such, that one is taught to at least then take shelter of a higher personality, a superior personality. We'll go the other direction. In uncivilized life, I have a desire, and on the strength of my pious merits and my clever abilities and my cunning intelligence, I'll get the fruit that I want, somehow or another. Where there's a will, there's a way. By hook or by crook, I'm going to get it. The Vedic, and this is a prelude to what's coming up in these first verses of the third chapter, Vedic wisdom, Vedic literature, teaches that one should take shelter under a superior person. You have some desire? Take shelter under a superior person. Continue to conduct your life by theistic conduct, by mode of goodness, prescribed standards of mode of goodness. Take shelter under a superior person, at least a demigod. But what is the purpose? This is upasana kanda, because we've dealt with karma kanda, jnana kanda, now it's upasana kanda, these three divisions of the Vedic literature. At least take shelter of worship. But where is this worship of superior personalities, controlling personalities of the universe, meant to lead us? To bring that, repose that tendency of worship upon the Supreme. So that's what That's the introduction to this chapter 3. Here's how Shukadev Goswami speaks, starting with text 1. Shukadev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, I have answered you. I gave you answers to both questions. Prabhupada explains that the literary incarnation of Krishna, he has compiled all of the Vedic literature for intelligent persons to consider, meaning dogs and cats, other than human form of life, the Vedic literature is not meant for them, and persons that are lazy or crazy, one or the other, they're not interested in religious scriptures either, although they may be walking around on two legs and have two arms. They're not yet in the civilized position, dvipada pashu. But civilization begins when one situates oneself under the codes of the scripture, and according to the codes of the scripture, one takes up some direct activity to regulate by the codes of the scripture. Listen to this very simple definition that Prabhupada gives of what is religion. Religion is the laws given by God. That is religion. And a religious person is one who follows the laws given by God. Simple definition. So just like within the state, there's lawmakers, and thus that those that become very knowledgeable in the laws of the state, they're lawyers. A religious person is one who becomes very knowledgeable in the laws given by God, and they follow them. What's a lawyer that knows the laws and doesn't follow them? He's in jail. He's debarred. He's not allowed to practice law. A religious person should know what are the laws given by God and follow them. And that's just religion. So, Prabhupada explains, these Vedic scriptures are for those religious people that have the capacity and the inclination to read or hear and learn Vedic scriptures and follow them. But not everybody is intelligent enough to do that. Either lazy or crazy. So, for those that are intelligent, now we're narrowing, it's like a funnel, it's getting narrower and narrower the other way. A mountain, the peak is going up and up. There are some people that are intelligent enough to know what it says in the Vedas. They're active enough to undergo the trouble of studying the Vedas, but they don't apply them. This was a question asked by Maharaj Parikshit in the sixth canto. When he hears the story of Vritrasura, his question is, Maharaj Parikshit's question is, how did this happen? That a person born as Vritrasura was born in a demoniac manner, that he had such elevated qualities. Out of all the people in the world, the same pyramid now, so many people have no regulation in life at all. Some persons submit themselves to the regulations of the Vedas, but they don't know the purpose behind it. Some know the purpose behind it, and yet they don't apply. Some apply, and they become elevated. Of those that become elevated, hardly some may inquire about the eternal soul and the position of the eternal soul. Of those that inquire about the position of the eternal soul, very few understand the real position of the Supreme Soul. Of those that do, very few act on it. Of those that act on it, very few actually achieve the goal of life. And this Vritrasura is on the topmost position of the goal of life. his consciousness was completely fixed upon the personality of Godhead. How did this happen? It's so rare. So the same pyramid-like thing Prabhupada is constructing in the purport, where even amongst intelligent people, they don't necessarily apply. So what's the extra ingredient that makes one compelled to apply this teaching that the Vedas provides us? Well, certainly a requirement, Prabhupada explains, is proper guidance or the assistance of a spiritual master. But there may be capable spiritual master who is very compassionately trying to induce others to take this wonderful message, and they don't. So, at least in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami uses the word Manishinam, and it's being translated here, and by our acharyas, Jiva Goswami also points to this as thoughtful. What are the consequences of not doing this? What are the consequences of doing this? It's still in terms of what's in it for me. There's a degree of selfishness, not yet at the position of love. Maybe the position of duty. I'm doing this because I don't want to get smacked for not doing it. And I want a nice situation coming out of doing it. It's still selfish. Duty is to a degree. There's some sacrifice, but there's also to a degree selfishness. Let's say a father goes to the office and he engages in some work, and he's working to provide for his family. So he's dutifully doing the things that he's doing. And there's sacrifice involved. I just saw a headline from New York Times, one woman employee in America said, you know, 30 years ago we thought this is great, women can also join the workforce, we can be equal to men. I had no idea how hard it was. No one told us how hard it was. There's great sacrifice on many, many levels of providing. So the responsible father and husband does like that because it's his duty. But then there's also some happiness or some satisfaction, some gratification from being the provider. The male ego is fed, I'm the provider. You stay at home and take care of the kids, and I'll provide for the kids. Anyway, there's some, with duty, Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, duty and love are not on the same platform. Where we want to get to is love. We may have to transit through the duty phase, from the dutyless, unregulated, not anatta, without having a master. We have a master, then we're sanatta. And we're bound duty-wise to our master. The Bhagavatam wants to take us from the anatta to the sanatta to the prema stage. So even intelligent persons may not be sufficiently thoughtful to understand where is this all going, what's the purpose. And so they may at times apply and sometimes not apply. But at least, so that takes us into the next section, and that is the acceptance of some superior personality to help me get the things that I want. So verses 2 through 7. They're all clustered together, and it's a long list. I'll read part of it because it's too long of a list. Of persons who, you know, have their inventory requisition slip that they submit at the counter and say, I want this, I want that, I want the next thing, I want the other 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 thing. And that's for those worshipers that recognize there is a higher purpose to life, but they also have material desire. And they don't know how else to manage those desires other than handing in their requisition slip. Here's the list, and while you're hearing the list, you can ask yourself the question, why is all this here in the Bhagavatam, this discussion about demigod worship? One who desires to be absorbed in the personal Brahmajyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brahaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra. One who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire. One who aspires after money. Money is the honey. Worship the Vasus. One should worship Rudra, incarnations of Lord Shiva, if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grains should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadev. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. And the list goes on, it's twice as long. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead, and one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. Doesn't say Kuvera, huh? If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Now remember, he's just, in the previous verse, he said, I've addressed your question, what should one do at the time of death to achieve perfection? Now this is describing those that don't have such a strong desire to achieve perfection, although they have some sense of a higher destination of life, they have some other strong desires, and out of this list they can take their pick, or combination if they like. So it's the question, once again, is where to repose, the question behind the question is where to repose one's worship tendency. Is worship tendency there in the living being? I don't know if you've seen publications, Time and Newsweek magazine have, that was in last year, 2005, headline cover stories of, through their research in genetics, they're concluding that it's actually genetically coded that persons will have aspiration for worshiping God. Brilliant scientists, huh? It has nothing to do with the soul having a relationship with God. It has to do with, we have genes. You know, and with survival of the fittest, you do better, you have better health, you have better tranquility, better serenity, better stress management, if you have a belief in God. So it's genetically coded, you'll do better You'll survive better if you have a belief in God. And it's all within the genes. It has nothing to do whether there's God or not, whether there's a soul or not, whether there's a relationship or not. It's just survival of the fittest. Brilliant scientists. Headline, cover story, Newsweek, Time magazine. The question is, what is the duty of the person at the time of death? That's been answered. But supposing that person at the time of death or during the course of their life has desires, what should one do? Well, here's one thing that one can do. Recognize a superior personality, approach that superior personality, and repose worship there. Worship tendency is there. You're going to repose it somewhere anyways. If you don't repose it on a demigod, you're going to repose it on a film star, music star, athlete, politician, or somebody. Tendency will come out from the spiritual perspective. Tendency will come out, and depending upon the modes of nature that one is influenced by, that worship tendency will come out. Faith will come out. Service will come out, because these are inherent in the soul, not just inherent in our genes. Whatever mechanism may be there in the material field, it's a reflection of what's existing on the spiritual plane. That they do not know, Prabhupada would say. This material world is but a reflection of the spiritual world. Something they find over here indicates it's over there. Anyway, this they do not know. Because for sure and certain, if the soul is gone, what's the use of that genetic combination anyway? Its animating force is the spirit soul. Tendencies are inherent in the soul. Tendency to worship is inherent in the soul. So the Vedic process, our Vedic way of life, is that you repose that tendency of worship on a superior being. And that is a way to address those desires in such a way the desires, one, become fulfilled, two, become regulated, and if one has understood the real purpose behind the Vedas, as the thoughtful person will, then one will go beyond the desire to the desireless or the spiritual desire position. That which is being recommended in chapter 2 of first canto, chapter 1 of the second canto, we just reviewed the conclusion that Shukadeva Goswami has given, exclusive devotional service to the personality of Godhead. We should know that to be the goal. And then we can strive from wherever we are to reach that goal, step by step. First step in God realization, then fixing our mind upon the form of the Lord, and then coming to the stage of devotional service, and coming to the stage of devotional service that's free from any other desire but the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. I can't remember there's a Sanskrit phrase that Jiva Goswami uses when he describes that devotional service that takes one to the Supreme Lord is that devotional service that's devoid of any other desire. And so it's begging the question, how do you get there? Because we certainly know what it's like to have attraction for Krishna and at the same time other desires. Maybe there's somebody in this assembly that is beyond material desire, but that would be a very rare situation. Practically speaking, we're all very familiar with having these two things side by side. The Bhagavatam is giving us very clear instruction how to get on the other side of material desire and come to exclusive devotion to the personality of Godhead. He's given the principle that is Harikathamritam. Regularly hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvata, Svakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, Hridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. That's the message from first canto, and now it's going to be expanded for us in this chapter. Stay tuned. So, it's after 9 o'clock. I think I'll end and see if there's any discussion. Yes? Microphone over here.
Maharaj, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't remember the context. I think the context is very important because that is akama sarva kamova moksha.
That's coming up. That's in this chapter, chapter 3. This is a build up to that.
My question is
text number 10. We just covered through 7.
My question is that if someone has sakama tendency, then how he can perform tivra bhakti? Because tivra bhakti means one-pointed devotion. And the very nature of sakama bhakti is that it just deviates a person from doing this one-pointed devotion to God. Because of nature, tendency for sense gratification, he may just get deviated.
Well, there's, I can suggest 3 different models. There's probably more. One model is the Rupanuga model, the father of Rupa Goswami. And the father of Rupa Goswami, just by faith in Rupa Goswami, follows his instruction. Anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karmadyanavratam. That's my marching orders. So, let me follow faithfully, dutifully, and in the more mature stage, lovingly, Rupa Goswami's instruction. I have this desire, let me not act on it. It's irritating, just like you have an itch. Just this morning, one of those little red ants bit me. Oh, just a little guy. So, you scratch it, and it just spreads the irritation. It doesn't make the itch go away. You just tolerate it. Tungstatikshas vabharata, matrasparshas. What is that matrasparshas? It's the contact of the senses with the sense objects, and one has an attraction. When that's what duality is all about. For one who is self-controlled, there may be a desire inside that now the sense, in the purview of my senses, there's objects. On the order of Rupa Goswami, I don't extend my senses unless there is devotional service. Now, so this was one of the questions asked yesterday. The nature of the question was a little different, but it touches on the same point. Arvindaksha's question is, things become degraded, what's our protection? This protection is from our own desire. That can't touch us if our desire is pure. That can touch us if our desire is contaminated. So, the teaching of Rupa Goswami is we can go into a contaminated place if we're in the properly situated, protected, not for jnana or karma or sense gratification or mental speculation. Just like there's a number of devotees here that are in universities. Hey, that's a contaminating place. The field of mental speculation, revved up in high volume, high speed. And it's just a preparation for going out into the marketplace where it's, now you're equipped for big time sense gratification because you can earn money and now you can get all those gadgets and toys and know how to use them to bring sense gratification. So, academia and the marketplace are both, so follow the teaching of Rupa Goswami and one will be protected. Another component that's necessary, and I was thinking about this question he asked last night. Thank you for asking this question. We can, if we take shelter of those who have purity and spiritual strength, that provides us protection. That's kind of a subset of, you know, the Rupa Goswami answer, because Rupa Goswami certainly teaches Guru Parashraya. One must have shelter. And through that, the shelter of those who are pure, although I'm not pure, if I take shelter of those that are pure, it will help me come to the pure state. And being faithful to those persons, I'll try very, very, very much. I'll have extra strength to not deviate. Still there's risk. Just like this quote that I expressed to you. You can look on that calendar, the daily calendar. Dedication to the Supreme Personality of God is the path of perfection and auspiciousness in life. Even there may be some, so, because they're material desire, there may be some imperfection of application. But dedication, there's this Tivra Bhakti. Because there's something beyond these desires that I have that I want. I want a relationship with Krishna. I want that very, very much. And the process of Harikatamrita awakens that desire. And our worship of the deity and our kirtan, and it awakens that desire. So, following teachings faithfully, elevated association, and with proper submission to that elevated association. And the third is the Dhruva Maharaj method. There's the Rupanuga method, Sadhu Sangha method, and the Dhruva Maharaj method. Now with the Dhruva Maharaj, he also had Sadhu Sangha. But he had big time material desire. Our desires are small time compared to his. He wanted a kingdom better than Lord Brahma. He wanted to rule a spiritual planet. In his mentality, the further contamination was, besides the desire was material, his further contamination was, it was, the motivation was getting back at his stepmother. I'm going to show her. I'm a Kshatriya. I don't take this lying down. She's insulted me. I'll show her. Very low mentality. His mother told him, the only way that you can get this kingdom is the personality of Godhead. If he gives his favor, anything's possible. He considered what she said and then made his decision. Okay, where do I find the personality of Godhead? He's in the forest. I don't know. I'm just a woman. But I know that the sages and the yogis, they go to the forest and somehow they find him. See you later, Mom, I'm leaving. Personality of Godhead. Now, his motivation was his material desire. Sakama Bhakti. But he knew only the person, and he accepted that on faith of his mother, the only way you can get this is this personality of Godhead. I'm going to go find the personality of Godhead. So he was wandering around in the forest and he didn't find the personality of Godhead. Then he found Narada. Narada gave him the means to reach the personality of Godhead. He understood, because he was actually beneath the Sakama, was he is a great devotee. He crossed over the Sakama position by his taking shelter in Narada, and Narada extending his mercy. Although he still wanted the kingdom, his kama dissolved. And he was greatly determined. See the degree of determination. But he was fixed. So wavering determination will come if all there is material desire. Unwavering determination can come if one's fixed on the goal. Even I may have material desire. I'm way over here. The goal is way over there. The goal is a relationship with the personality of Godhead. And the mercy of Narada or Narada-like personalities can take me there. Our instruction from Rupa Goswami is different than Narada's instruction to Dhruva. Rupa Goswami's instruction is right from the very beginning. Anya Abhilash Shunyam. Set aside other desires. Narada gave that instruction, and his mother gave the instruction to Dhruva. He wasn't ready for it. He said, "I'm sorry, your instruction doesn't touch my heart." We can say that too, but our recourse is we just take the instruction and fulfill the higher nature by this enormous, unprecedented descending mercy that comes from Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.